One of them books before
hey,
me.
Welcome home, Baring. Welcome home.
Jason, well, come in.
Oh, am I glad to see you, Baring. How do you feel?
Well, I feel fine. As for these crutches here, I'm throwing them overboard any day now.
A friend of yours here, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, don't tell me this is Jack. Bless me, what a fine big lad. And you're sure you're really feeling all right, Baring?
Oh, blast you, Jason. Stop asking me how I feel.
Well, I've been worried about you. Last word we had was from Eli Bacon after he hailed you off New Zealand a year ago. Yeah, I thought maybe I'd killed you letting you go to sea hurt like you were.
Eli Bacon. Can't wait to sew me up in canvas. How much oil did Mr. Long-Nosed Bacon bring back?
Well, he had bad luck. 1,400 barrel.
1,400, what's the record for this port, you recall?
You know very well the record's 2,217 barrels.
Well, it ain't no more.
What's that?
It's 2,246.
Say, is that the truth, or are you just...
Mr. Stewart said maybe it's even a world record.
Back to them books. That's the last time, though.
Why, sir?
Mary, I can't tell you how proud I am for you. Well, it doesn't often happen for a man to have a record to retire on.
Retire? Who says I'm retiring?
Well, I didn't mean to bring it up right now, but... well, why not, Barry? The board of directors are giving you a pension. $3,000 a year.
Oh, ain't that nice now? Figured I ain't got another voyage in me, huh?
Oh, be reasonable. It's not just the directors. The insurance company says so, too. Now, don't tell me you want to go to sea again.
Maybe so. Maybe not. I ain't decided.
Well, what is it? Is it the boy? You want to leave someone else named Joy on the quarter deck? Because if that's it, it's nothing but pride. Now, look.
My hand's looking. Maybe like this, and no insurance company doing my deciding for me.
No, you neither. All right, Benning, all right. Here, you'll be needing this. Key to your house.
Thank you.
Everything's clean and ready for you. It's a right pleasant house, Baring.
Yeah.
You and the boy should be real comfortable there.
Me and the boy be real comfortable aboard this vessel.
Good to see you, Jed. He's a fine lad.
Thank you. Are we going home now, sir?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Come on, boy. We're going home. You still up, Jed? Past 4 days.
I've been studying, Grandpa, like you told me to.
Oh, well, I've just been calling on the school superintendent. You'll take the examination tomorrow morning.
Yes, Grandpa. If I fail, I can't go to sea no more. That's it, ain't it, Grandpa?
I ain't saying it isn't. I ain't saying it ain't. And no more gab about feeling. You hear me?
But I just don't know nothing about this book running bilge.
It ain't bilge. Useless, maybe, but... Don't you ever let me hear you calling it bilge.
Yes, sir.
What's threatening you special? What book you been studying?
This one. It's a grammar book.
Well, what don't you know about it?
Well, what's the one thing I don't know what parse means.
Parse?
It says parse the following sentence.
Parse.
In the front of the book, it says parse is a verb transitive.
Yeah, I was just about to tell you that, boy. Excepting that I didn't think you'd understand.
I don't.
Well, it means,
It says it means to resolve.
I know what it means.
I wish you'd tell me, Dan.
Well, resolve means to kind of take something apart. Like you take a knot apart. See how it's tied. Well, that's what you do to a sentence. You bust it all up into adverbs and adjectives. Interesting, isn't it?
I'm scared, Grandpa. I just can't think anymore. I get all mixed up. I just can't think.
All right, boy. All right now. You've done enough for one day. Time for us both in our beds.
Can I sleep in your room, Grandpa? It's got 2 beds and I...
Well, it's being your first night is sure.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Yeah. Grab hold of that lamp, boy. Get it both. Lively now.
Grandpa?
Huh?
Just now when you were praying, to appear like I wasn't going to pass the examination.
Oh, I didn't mean to, Jed. I was just letting the Lord know that if he's got some disappointment for us to face tomorrow, that, well...
I'll try, Grandpa. Honest, I will.
But if you don't pass, well, it could be that the Lord means it's for our own good.
But I've got to go to see Grandpa to get raised proper, like we always said.
And I'm saying that maybe he don't want me to raise you in no place like that. You know, it's a rough, tough, hard life, boy.
I want to go to see Grandpa.
Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. Jed, this house here, you don't remember much about it, do you?
I was pretty young then, I guess.
Yeah. Mighty interesting subject, remembering. Mighty scientific subject.
It is?
Yeah. Now, just being scientific, you wouldn't remember the night you was brought in here to my room to sleep, would you? Night your ma died.
I don't think so, Grandpa.
No, just lonesome you was. Just lonesome.
I think I remember, Grandpa. Kind of.
I had to kiss you goodnight. Even just like I knew your ma. Seemed to make you forget about being lonesome. Funny, ain't it?
I guess so, Grandpa.
Yeah. I don't suppose that right now you are.
Yeah?
Oh, nothing, boy. Nothing. Now, you was mighty young, like you said. Now, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Like to wait here in my office, Captain Joy, until the examination is over.
You sure ain't bothering you, Mr. Bush. After all, you being the school superintendent...
I only wish you'd stop worrying about the boy.
Mr. Bush, you're a married man, huh? Your father and children?
No, we've never been blessed with any, Captain Joy.
But you know about him, though. I guess it ain't so hard, is it?
Being a parent?
Well, it ain't just being a parent. It's being a parent ashore.
Well, some pretty fair people have managed to get raised ashore.
Yeah, that's right. Abe Lincoln, now. He made it handsome.
Most handsome.
The Lincoln's folks were shore folks. And that makes a difference.
If need be, Captain, if Jed doesn't pass, I think you'll make it handsome, too. You've given the boys something to look up to. That's the hardest part. You brought home a record, didn't you? A record that will stand.
Yeah. I'll tell you the kind of a record I brought home. I had a right here in my hand to keep Jed out there for one more voyage. That's all I needed, just one more voyage. Only it ain't going to come about. And why? Because of me. Because I kept him ignorant. Because I couldn't teach him, Papa.
I didn't know it meant that much to you. If you'll excuse me, Captain, I have a message for one of the teachers. I almost forgot.
Yes, Mr. Bush, that's the kind of a record I brought home.
Miss Hopkins?
Arithmetic, spelling, and English, Mr. Bush. He's working on geography now.
Well?
Simply deplorable. So far, his average is 32.
Miss Hopkins, you will give him a mark of 70.
What did you say,
sir? I said you will give him a mark of 70. I am not going to tell that old man that his boy failed.
But he did fail. And if you want me to falsify an examination, just...
All right, then. You tell him. Go on. Tell him that he has to raise that boy on shore. That he can't take the last of the joys to sea again to make a whaling master out of him. You go ahead. I'm not man enough.
But we have no right, Mr. Bush. No right to send him where the only things to learn about are the sea and that terrible, rough life. It's not enough.
There's a little matter called character, Miss Hopkins. That old man has a textbook that builds character. It has no words, Miss Hopkins. But if I could learn to read that book of his, I'd give up knowing how to spell. And I'd give up a good deal more if I had that boy's chance to be a man.
Oh, I know. But the point is...
The point is, Miss Hopkins... that we will mark the paper 70.
Come in. Glad you stopped by the office.
You can stay right, Jason. Just tell me what you've done about refitting the vessel.
Well, we haven't done anything yet. I'd like you to meet Mr. Lunsford here. Mr. Lunsford, this is Captain Joy.
I do.
How do you
know, sir? Well, what do you mean you ain't done nothing?
Well, I see. Jed must have passed, eh?
Passed? Of course he passed. 70% in every subject. Not bad for a boy who never went to school. Now look, where's it eating? We got a crew to line up and the first mate to find.
Strange. I was just talking about that with Mr. Lunsford.
Oh, you were, huh?
Yes, Mr. Lunsford from Boston. And was he to get a chance to sail with you? Well, it might work out just fine all around.
Here. Young fella, ain't he, Jason? Yeah. Young and healthy.
Well, I imagine I could survive another void, sir.
Jason, a body with half an eye can see the wheels run around your head. Lunsford comes from Boston. Boston, where them insurance companies but. Now, it wouldn't be possible that Mr. Lunsford's got his master's papers on him, would it?
Well, yes.
Look, suppose we let Captain Joy look the record over if he wants to, and if he's got any questions to ask.
Well, that's a mighty fine idea, young fellow.
Yeah.
Let's see them papers, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Rigby and Son. That's good for him. Later promoted to first mate of the Albatross. Yes, good ship. What's this?
Just some school credits, sir.
Went to school to learn how to take wheel, huh? Now, that's mighty interesting. What'd they learn you in that school, Mr. Lunsford?
I studied engineering, seamanship, navigation, marine biology.
Marine biology? What?
Biology.
Hey, now, I'd take it mighty kindly if you were to tell me about that, Mr. Lunsford.
Yes, sir. Marine biology covers the feeding habits of the whale, his seasonal movements, his breeding and calving habits.
Oh, now, that's mighty wonderful interesting, ain't it, Jason?
Baring, I think that we'd better get on.
But no, I'm worried. For near 200 years, my folks made a tolerable living taking whale, and not one of them ever studied that marine what do you call it? You reckon we was all that time not knowing that we didn't know what we was doing, Mr. Lunsford?
Captain Joy, I'd like to have been a fourth-generation whaleman, too. All right, I'm not. But I do know my trade,
I'm
and I can...
Sorry, Barry. I thought you'd be pleased with Mr. Lunsford's record.
Now, what give you a notion that I ain't pleased? Well, he suits me fairly proper. Yes, sir, he suits me fine.
Oh.
Now, to make a mighty interesting voyage, Jason... Mr. Lunsford can tell me about this and it just might be that there's a little point or two where I could tell him. Against the time, I mean, when he takes over a command of his own.
No, it just may be that Mr. Lunsford would rather ship aboard another vessel.
No, the ship and the master suit me fine. If you'll excuse me, Captain Joy, I'll see you at the vessel, sir.
You bet you will, Mr. Lunsford. Mr. Lunsford?
We've cleared the Cape, sir. Both sails aloft, making 10 knots, sir.
You formed any opinion of the crew yet, Mr. Lunsford?
They appear able enough, sir.
Some good things about them, maybe. You may have noticed that most of my crew generally sign on again.
Out of affection, no doubt, sir.
Could be, Mr. Lunsford. Oh, yes. Could be. That's possible. However, I make no contact with the crew. Now, maybe you think that's because I'm an old man and have need of these here crutches to make my way about. Is that what you think, Mr. Lunsford?
I hadn't thought about it at all, sir.
I deal with my crew entirely through my first officer and don't meddle.
Yes, sir?
For instance, it so happens I got Kim aboard. But his being my grandson don't make him no different from no other folks were.
Yes, sir.
Now, but we've got a special little problem, Mr. Lunsford. My grandson was permitted to make this voyage with the firm understanding that he received his proper portion of buckline, like the law says. Whilst he was cabin boy, I earned him. But him being crew now is different. I dasn't meddle with the crew, no wise whatever, like we said. See, Mr. Lunsford?
Yes, but then who's going to...
Well, it's a vexing problem. At least, it was a vexing problem. Until it come to me to remember you and your schooling. Because, from now on, it can be your duty to oversee his book learning just like this vessel promised.
Oh, but my time's going to be pretty well taken up.
Yes. Well, get the lessons in time. Your off hours will be fine. And don't look so long-faced. I had the feeling when you come aboard that you was ready to take on extra duty was the chance to show itself.
Yes, sir. Anything else, sir?
Another thing, Mr. Lunson. This here has been a mighty interesting chat. Yes, sir. Mighty interesting.
In just a moment, our stars will return with Act Two of Down to the Sea in Ships. And now here's Linda Collins with the Lux Movie News of the Week. Linda, didn't I see you at Universal International's preview of Katie Did It?
I was there all right, John. And I want to report to Anne Blythe's fans that she's a real comer. You know, she won one of Photoplay's gold medal awards for 1950. In her new picture, she's teamed with handsome Mark Stevens and is assigned with a slightly scandalous story. As Katie, she poses for a billboard with bare shoulders coming out of a lily pond, and that makes her hometown blush. Katie does it to repay her uncle's gambling debt, but her stay-at-home aunt is shocked. Now, if you want to know whether she marries the artist who painted her or the hometown boy who offers to save her from disgrace, see Katie Did It yourself.
I take it that Anne of the lovely shoulders dresses quite conventionally at other times.
Oh, yes, and that's the kind of clothes girls her age love. A plaid cotton shirt with slacks for casual wear, and a darling shirtmaker dress in rose, simple but beautifully tailored.
Perfect summer luxables, I'd say.
Indeed they are, John. And this summer's cottons have never been lovelier. New Lux of color fashion is here just in the nick of time. It gets white cottons beautifully white. Prints look so gay and alive, you think you're dreaming. All colors have zing and sparkle, such as you've never seen before.
It's a fact. No other way of washing leaves colors fresher or brighter.
Since this is National Cotton Week, the fabulous new cottons come to mind first. But New Lux with color freshener is just as wonderful for all whites. All colors. And so safe for everything safe in water.
You should hear Hollywood screen stars rave about it.
Anne Blythe says it gives the most wonderful results she's ever seen.
Now, while your cottons are new, start them off right with this sensational care. New Lux with color freshener.
Your bright print, your dreamy colors, your paper white, will sing all summer long.
Get a big box of New Lux with color freshener tomorrow. Give your washables that nicest new Lux look again and again. Here's our producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Act Two of Down to the Sea in Ship, starring Richard Widmark as Dan Lunsford and Lionel Barrymore as Captain Doring Joy. On by, and the Bride of Bedford still sails aloft, sweeps onward to the South Atlantic. On the afterdeck, Captain Joy's grandson keeps an appointment with his new teacher.
Well, let's see, you passed the fourth grade examination, huh?
I got some, Mr. Lunsford. It was easy.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Look at the teacher you had. All right, now it says here in your book that Farmer Brown has a box of 32 apples. He gives 8 away, 6 more rot before he can get them to market. Now, how many apples are left for sale?
I don't know. Hey, look, there's a purpose of court size.
I asked you a question, mister.
I don't know, sir. Besides, I don't see why I have to learn about farmers.
Look, 32 apples. He gives 8 away, 6 more rot. Now, how many are left?
7?
Look, I wonder if we try real hard, we could find something that you do know. What's the longest river in the world?
The Narragansett?
The Narragansett. What was the first battle of the Revolution?
I don't know. Why did there have to be so many questions? Grant is the best whaleman in the world. You didn't have to learn about farmers and with apples. And look at Abraham Lincoln. He didn't have to have no schooling to be president.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wouldn't take long to figure out where you heard that one. All right, mister, I guess we can't get pearls out of a pelican. There are others aboard this ship who want to learn.
About apples?
About taking whale. We're putting 2 crews into the water. Mr. Sue's taking one, I'm taking the other. That is, as soon as I pick my men.
You need a killer, Mr. Lunsford. Tell me, Mr. Lunsford, I know all about a killer. Just wait a
minute. You report to the cook. Maybe there's something you can do to help him.
The cook, sir?
You've got your orders, mister.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that coffee, Mr. Tubbs.
Coming, sir. Coming. Well, what's the matter with you, boy? Don't you feel like victuals?
I'm all right.
Try him with an apple, Mr. Tubbs.
An apple, sir?
Oh, no, no. Come to think of it, some people don't like apples. They don't even like the farmers who grow them.
He had 32 apples. He gave 8 away and 6 got rotten, so he had 18 left. And the Mississippi is the longest river in the world. And the first battle of Concord. And 6 times 11 is 66, and 6 times 12 is 72. And is there anything else you want to know, sir?
Yes. Where's the sugar, Mr. Tubbs? What are you looking at, mister? Can't see much over a rail at night.
No, sir.
You
can't.
I was sort of hard on you, wasn't I? And kind of cruel, too.
I don't feel like talking, sir.
Well, your grandfather's back there. Maybe you feel like talking to him.
No, sir. Not special.
Well, we could talk about whale, you know. For instance, how big is a bluefin chap when he's born? How old is he before he starts to travel? What does he eat that's different from other whales? Well, come on, mister. What's the matter?
How big is he when he's born?
Well, 20 feet, maybe.
Did you ever see one?
No.
Well, how do you know then?
I studied about it. Yes, that's right, in books. What whales eat, how they behave, the sum of what a lot of men have found out about them.
I could learn that.
Sure, you could learn lots of things once you got the hang of studying. Even seven.
Well, what about seven?
Well, that's a mighty important number in a man's life. When he's seven, he changes from a child to a boy. Now, what's twice seven?
14.
That's right, and that's about when he stops being a boy and he starts growing into a man. 3 times 7?
21. Yeah, that's when he's all the way grown up.
Well, he thinks so anyway. But let's jump ahead a little bit, shall we? What's 10 times 7?
70.
That's right, 70. 70. That's the best age of all if a man has sense enough to meet it the way he ought to.
Grandpa's 70.
Oh, is he? But that's a fine time of life, Jeb. A man can sit on his front porch in the sun and think about how good he used to be and leave the work of the world to younger and better men.
What are you talking so loud for?
Well, am I? I didn't realize I was. Well, that's enough for now, boy. We'll take the 8th tomorrow.
You ain't mad at me anymore?
Go on, get to bed.
Good night, Mr. Lunchford.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night, Captain Joy.
Go to bed. Younger and better men. Younger and better men, my fortune. Morning, Mr. Joy. You got a minute to spare me? I'd like to inquire about your schooling.
Oh, it's fine, sir. Not a bit hard the way Mr. Lunsford teaches it. What's an arithmetic, sir? To make sense out of it. Like dog bark navigation and how to use it.
What kind of navigation?
Dog bark, sir. It's like when we're in a fog and we're near land or something. What do we do?
What do we do? We throw a rock overside, and if there ain't no echo in the splash, we know we're in clear water. Don't you ever forget it.
Oh, no, sir, I won't. Well, Mr. Lunsford, he don't throw a rock over.
More likely it goes over one of the crew, huh, boy?
Oh, no, sir. This is a silly to carry all those rocks, and all you have to do is shout.
Shout? Shout at who?
Just shout, sir, and then you count slow. And if any echo comes back in, say, 5 seconds, you multiply 5 times 1,000, because that's the speed of sound. Then you divide by 2, because the sound has to go out and back. That gives you 2,500 feet, and that's the distance you're from land, to an iceberg, maybe. And that's dog bark.
That's hogwash. Hogwash.
Anyway, sir, Mr. Lunsford's taking his boat out to practice. And he said that I can go with him.
Oh, now. You don't want to miss none of Mr. Lunsford's wisdom. Get on, Mr. Joy. Go on, get...
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Fetch.
They come back, sir. Mr. Lunsford, long book. They finally get back.
Oh, him safe?
Yes, sir. Bit backwards, sir. They've been pulling them over as far.
We expect to have. Well, get him aboard, Mr. Fetch.
There's only one thing I want to know. Who's the chokester aboard who filled that extra sail? I said, who's the chokester?
Excuse me if I interrupted, Mr. Lunsford. Nice practice.
Nice, long practice, Mr. Lunsford. Very commendable.
No wonder we got back at all with this vessel off our course. We might just as well have pulled for land.
I expect you could have made it, too. You could have dog-barked it. Full sail, Mr. Sewell. Hold your course.
Stand and watch, Mr. Lunsford.
Yeah.
After all that rowing you've done. Now, let me bring you a mug of coffee.
No, thanks, Mr. Tubbs. All quiet below?
All quiet, sir. You, ain't got it figured out yet, have you, sir?
What are you talking about?
About why this vessel was off course this afternoon? He done it, raising that sail.
Some people spit meanness just for the fun of it.
You ain't had much truck with feelings, have you, Mr. Lunsford?
Look, maybe you'd better get back to your gal.
Can't you see, sir, the captain, he kind of took the boy's feelings for granted, same as we do all our kin, but you're taking that boy away from him, Mr. Lunsford. You're taking something you've got no right to.
That old man loves nothing outside of himself and whale oil. He dumped that kid on my deck himself. All I've done is try to hammer his little ABCs into
him. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Why do you think he's here at sea where he ain't got the strength to be no more? What do you think's driving him on, huh? It's his love for that boy. Now, somebody's going to get hurt, Mr. Lunsford, but it ain't going to be him. Not now, not at his time of life. Not if I'd have to kill him.
Well, I think you believe everything you say, but that doesn't make it true. Well, I don't mean a cobbler's nickel to that boy. But if that's all it'll take to make you happy, that's easy. I'll dump him back in the old man's apron, and quick, too.
Well, it ain't going to be as easy as you think, sir.
No?
No, sir. Good night, Mr. Lunsford.
Come in, come in.
Oh. Yeah. I admire the way you handled the crew today, Mr. Munson. We lost both well, but for the training you've given, I have edited it in the log that way.
Thank you, sir. But, I'm here to talk about your grandson, sir.
Oh. Seems to me Jed mentioned something that you ain't found time right to give him his learning.
Well, I've been kind of busy, sir. But he's coming along pretty well. I thought maybe he could go out on our next whale.
Well, he's pretty sensible.
My boat crew's in fine shape. They'll give you their best, sir.
Just what does that mean?
Well, I thought you ought to... Well, I mean with your liking for the boy, Well, I thought you'd want to take him out and blood him yourself.
Mr. Lunsford, if any member of this crew is ready for blood and blood him, if you want to put him in your boat, put him there. But don't make such a pother about it. Don't come in here telling me when to lower a boat. You clear, Mr. Lunsford?
Yes, sir, but just so that we understand each other correctly.
Captain
Dollar! Hey, keep on! Looks like our little understanding will have to wait, Mr. Lunsford.
All hands on deck! All hands on deck!
Fire,
Mr.
Lunsford! Fire,
Jim!
We need an answer! Please, please,
sir! Tell Mr. Batch, tell him I told you what he'd make a
fire order. Didn't make it mean, sir?
Stop the talk, drop those slap buckets and run.
All right, get those folks in the water!
Cow you got there, Mr. Lunsford? Or the better 100 miles.
We fastened down to her not too far from the vessel, sir.
Huh?
Chances are the other boats had a longer chase. And there's a fog rolling in, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lunsford. But I'm still able to tell between the fog and the black of night. We'll snug down the vessel as soon as you've made your whale secure down there.
Yes, sir.
And for a party, sir!
Ahoy!
Ahoy!
Can you sight the vessel? Good work, Mr. Shaw. Run, Mr. Tubbs. Double drive for all hands.
Get in some dry clothes, you men, and back on deck. Just a minute, Mr. Shaw. See anything of Mr. Thatch out there in that fog?
What do you mean they ain't back aboard?
No. When did you sight him last?
Just before the weather closed in.
No sight of him on the way back to the ship.
No, sir. We had our own trouble, sir. Nice and fog. The boys in that boat, too, sir.
Like some credits, Mr. Lunsford. Put extra men
Doctor.
My God, and my strength, in him will I trust. Under the new world, I lift my eyes and my soul. Bring him back, O Lord. Bring back the boy.
Standing up on his deck there, leaning on them crutches and staring out in the fog like a statue of stone. Any word from Mr. Sykes, sir?
The old man told me not to search beyond the sound of the vessel, not more than 10 minutes.
Well, Thatch is a good man, sir. Wherever they are, they could still be all right.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's talking about putting over another boat, I suppose.
Not to Captain Joy, sir. He's got his rules.
Well, suppose he breaks them for once. That's his own kid out there. What good are his rules if anything happens to him?
I don't know, Mr. Lunsford, but I do know he won't lower another boat. Maybe that's why he never has any trouble with his crews. They know he ain't never even bent a rule. Man ain't the best master in the trade for nothing, Mr. Lunsford. Yeah, I'd lower another boat, but not him.
Panagra!
Don't do it, sir. You can't quit ship without
order. Just give me a few minutes for that suit of bed
and have him. Seen nothing and you've heard nothing. Is that clear, Mr. Sewell?
Yes, sir.
Ford and Ann Baxter doing moving interpretations of Hogan and his wife Valerie. and the sacrifices they go through to break into professional golf.
I'm afraid my score isn't good enough, but I've always been a great admirer of Ben Hogan. My greatest regret is meeting him about his uncle Los Angeles Open when he came back like a champion.
Too bad you missed it, Gene. I respected him enough to have been there. Dennis O'Keefe and Jim Harris, as the Hogan's close friends, make Follow the Sound into a life of fortune. Now, what's the next stop on your circuit, Gene?
I'm not quite sure, Mr. Keeley, but I always keep my suitcase half-packed.
I hope that includes Lux Flakes, Gene.
It most certainly does, Mr. Kennedy. I'm never without it for lingerie and stockings wherever I go. And with me, Lux seems more wonderful than it ever was.
Thank you, Gene Mayberry. That's what so many screen stars tell us. Jim Haverick is practically a commuter to New York and Europe and never goes without a box of Lux Flakes tucked in her suitcase. That's a mighty good reason why stars like Ann Baxter and June Havoc insist on Lux. New Lux with color freshener is perfect care for lingerie. White laces stay whiter than ever. Delicate colors look gloriously alive. Prints fresher than spring. Stocking colors do look clearer. Washable silks, rayons, nylons, and gossamer cottons couldn't look lovelier, couldn't be safer. But don't just take my word for it. Try it yourself. Get a big box of Lux Flakes tomorrow. Get your slips and nighties, your washable negligees and house coats, or your personal washables, that nice as new Lux look. We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WCBS, AM and FM, New York. Rises on Act 3 of Down to the Sea and Ship, starring Richard Widmark as Van Lunsford and Lionel Barrymore as Captain Baring Jones. Day by day, the Pride of Bedford works her way farther south, through interminable farms and treacherous icebergs into the home of whales. And each passing day brings young Jed closer to the showdown with his grandfather, until now...
Oh, I came to talk to you as master of the vessel, sir.
Then I'd be obliged were you to speak out.
Well, I wish to be put ashore on the call of Valparaiso, sir.
Say, mm-hmm. Gene. Why?
I'd rather not stay, sir.
Then I'll tell you. You're still up concerning the discipline of Mr. Lunsford. Pardon me. What Mr. Lunsford did, and unless you're man enough to run your ship the way it ought to be, fair and just, then you're not man enough to be master of a vessel.
Fair and just. You came out to find me, didn't you? And you didn't.
Nope, I did not.
You don't care about anything. You're just rotten old stinking ship, that's all. Well, I don't want to stay on it anymore. Nor you either.
That's all, sir. Just a minute. I struck your anger. You're entitled to file charges against me. But I want you to know it wasn't an anger at you, but at myself. I failed to make you the kind of a man I hoped you'd be. You can go now.
Aye, sir.
Come here a minute. How is he, the old man?
No better, Mr. Lunsford.
Man, his age going out in a long boat. He brought back a whale, didn't he?
That's the business of this ship, Mr. Tubb.
The boy's been in to screen you?
No, sir. Forgiveness ain't in the joy of blood, Mr. Lunsford. He won't get better. He don't want to get better. He's going to die.
Mr. Lunsford.
Well?
Captain Gordon, sir.
Looks like your day was here at last.
Well, I don't know what that means.
You have a master's license, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm too fit to continue in command.
Are you sure it's that bad?
I don't know how sick I am. You think I'm doing this with pleasure?
You've got your vessel, Mr. Lunsford.
All right, then the first thing we'll do is turn back from under the barrel when it's
docked. You continue taking Mr. Sewer and the crew.
That's all, Mr. Blood. Look.
We got more
things.
But I'd hit the crowder
with
the ice
cream. We can't crowder, Mr. Sewer. That old man can smell it out if anybody so much as ties a knot he hasn't ordered. So he drew around, point at a time.
All right, good.
Remember, though, we've got to get him to Montevideo as fast as we can.
Mr. Rusty,
sir. Yes, yes.
What's the
giving, Mr. Rusty? I'm afraid pretty bad.
Thanks. I thought I'd go and see you. I want
to tell my story
still.
That's not enough, kid. Chance to look in his logbook. And you'll find it written there that he took himself off duty just as quickly as he took me off. And you'll find that it says that what right for the vessel comes ahead of himself or you or me or anybody. It takes a strong man to live like that, Jeff, to put what's right or wrong ahead of your own duty.
I know you could win.
He's more than that. He's more of a man than you or I could ever hope to be. And if you were my own son, I'd wish nothing better than you get down there right now and tell him so before it's too late.
But then it'd be like seeing him was right instead of you. After all, you're the one that's different, friend.
Yes.
You can't say something that don't mean to me. You can't. You just can't.
All right, Jane, it's up to you.
You kill yourself, kid.
line and shoot.
Next
I understand you're still making pictures about the Navy.
Well, last time it was the Marines, sir, and this time it's the Navy. A story is a valiant part the underwater demolition teams played in the last war, better known as the Frogmen.
Frogmen, yeah. I'm a boatman, the girl.
You mean Lux Flakes?
Of course I mean Lux Flakes.
Did you think I was a lucky girl?
Let's get back to our frogmen here. Rick, I trust Mrs. Widmark took plenty of Lux along when you went on location to the Virgin Islands.
Oh, sure, Bill. We had everything. And for the pictures, 20th Century Fox took along 7 explosion experts to rig up a gigantic invasion barrage and all sorts of technicians for filming the underwater sequence.
It reminds me of what it was in the last war. The famous 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Metro Golden Mayor Jetstar Van Johnson in a picture about them. For bull for bull.
Well, what does the expression bull for bull mean?
Well, that shook the world. This is just what happens at its world premiere in Honolulu on May the 4th.
And what's to be the premiere in the Lux Radio Theater next week, sir?
Next week we'll have some especially fine entertainment because it's a family comedy. And what a family. It's the 20th Century Fox production of Cheaper by the Dozen. The trials and tribulations of rearing 12 children. And as father, we'll have none other than inimitable, incomparable perfectionist, Clifton West.
We'll look forward to it, Bill. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
One of Hollywood's most winsome young stars is Diana Lynn. She's blonde and vivacious, always has that precious ability look. For a quick beauty pickup, Diana says, there's nothing like a refreshing Lux soap bath. And Lux in the new bath size is so luxurious. Have you tried this generous satin smooth bath soap Diana Lynn recommends? You'll be delighted with its rich, creamy lather, abundant even in hardest water, active lather that leaves skin fresh and sweet. Lux lovely all over. The flower-like fragrance is a favorite with screen size. It's a delicate perfume that cleans. Put Lux toilet soap in the big bath size on your shopping list tomorrow. Discover why 9 out of 10 screen stars use this fragrant white beauty soap.
Beaver Brothers Company, the makers of Lux soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Cheaper by the Dozen, starring Clifton West. This is William Keeley saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Heard in our cast tonight with Johnny McGovern as Jed, Bill Johnstone as Briggs, and Herbert Butterfield as Bush. Our play was adapted by S.H. Barnett, and our music was directed by Rudy Schrager. This is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Clifton Webb in Cheaper by the Dozen. Stay tuned for My Friend Irma, which follows over the same station. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yes, stay tuned for My Friend Irma, starring Marie Wilson.
Oh, listen to me, lady. Listen to me, bud. If you want to be not happy, then you're going to stop, bud.
Yes, bud cigarettes are cooler than cool. That's S-P-U-T.